And are you going to do something about it? Because God does speak to us all the time. Yes, grace is going to do something about it. I like it. It's the right attitude. What this mug is, 50 is not fair. It's not fair. All right. Thanks for asking. So here's the deal. We're going to start with a word of prayer, and then the geese are dismissed. Younger geese and the older geese. And we're going to start, unless you really want to stick around and you can behave yourselves. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of coming together and worshiping you and getting to know you. Lord, I pray that we will be an encouragement to each other and that your word will be an encouragement to us. And Lord, that we will not just be hearers of the word, but also doers. Lord, we seek to hear from you and put it into action. Help us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, children, you are dismissed. The drama is not for you today. So what I'm going to do, in case you're curious, is I am going to read through the entire book of James. It does take 17 minutes with Shatner-style pauses, if I choose to use them. Should I choose to use them. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about this book that we're looking at. We're going to go through the entire book of James. It's going to take us through Christmas, and I want to give you a little bit of an overview about Christmas. A little overview about the book of James. Guess who the author is?
James.
Yeah, which one?
The brother of Jesus.
Yeah. Close. The half-brother of Jesus. Thank you. I was riding my bicycle last week, just a couple days before the retreat, and I did something I haven't done in a couple of years, and that was ended up on the pavement. And it was kind of interesting. I decided I was riding down Allen Boulevard, Allen Street, whatever it is, and decided a car cut me off, one of those Chevy Volts, stupid environmentalists. And I mean, there's even cheaper ways to go. It's called a bike. And I decided to get up on the curb, and the curb was about that, not the curb, the sidewalk, and it's about that high of a thing, and I just threw my over, and I ended up in the completely wrong position, holding the bike up like this and on my back and sliding down the sidewalk. It's like, this isn't good. My first thought was, ow. My second thought was, I hope I'm okay. I hope I can recover from this. My third thought was some really choice words for the driver. I had some really not nice things to say about the driver of that car. And because he cut me off, and I kind of cursed him, and I won't run you over some of the words, but you know they weren't the far end of awful, but they were bowling words, and I had a good reason, right? Mm-hmm. Perfectly good reason. I was completely justified to get mad at that guy, and anyone would do the same, right?
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Kathy says she doesn't know those words. Yeah, that's bull. That's what she would have said. Fooey.
I'm not pulling out of Kathy.
Wow, let's step it up. It wasn't until this week when I was reading through the book of James that I was really convicted by scripture about that. And it isn't so much that, oh, that's a bad thing to say, and you're going to get in trouble for saying those bad words, and your mom's going to wash your mouth out with soap. But it was that idea that I just cursed someone instead of blessing them. And as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, I want to be a blessing to people. I don't want to curse their lives. They may be all messed up. They may be all wrong, just like the rest of us. But I want to live like a citizen of heaven. I don't want to be like everyone else. I have a right to do that, for sure, because they made a mistake. It's not that I want to impress anyone or earn God's favor. It's just that I want to bless and not curse. I want to point people to the kingdom of heaven. That's what my life is about. So as was already mentioned, the author of this book is James, the half-brother of Jesus. And this book is about being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. This book is really, we just went through the book of Hebrews, right? And Hebrews is really kind of the doctrine part. It tells you what it means and why you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, why that's a bigger deal than this temporal, this present reality. And this book is very practical. He tells us about, hey, if you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, if you're a member of God's kingdom, if you live in that greater reality, act like it. Get your life in line with it. You already sound convicted. Awesome. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he was clearly Joseph and Mary's son because his father wasn't the Holy Spirit. And if you're Catholic, you know that Jesus didn't have any brothers and sisters because the whole perpetual, you know, virginity thing. Yeah, try selling that one to your dad, huh? But that's not true, because the scripture is very clear that Jesus did have several brothers and sisters. And they even named the brothers, but they were obviously later on in life. And one of them was James. And James kind of came to a prominence in the early church after the first James, who was one of the 12 disciples, was martyred. And so by the time you get to about the 40s AD, just a few years after Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, James was really kind of head of the Jerusalem church. He was called James the Just. And when they met together to kind of decide which Jewish laws would be applicable to Gentiles, James was a really prominent voice in that. And so that's the James that we're talking about, more than likely. At least that's what evidence definitely points to. So when was this book written? It was written, had to be written before James the Just was martyred, because he was also martyred. He was also killed for his faith. I'll tell you the story about that. There's two different accounts. It was in 62 AD. Josephus simply says that it was at a time when Festus, who was the procurator at the time, was on his way out, and they were bringing in the new ruler, Roman ruler of Israel. And he hadn't arrived yet. The high priest said, "This is my time. This is my time to get done all the stuff I want to get done." And so he had James stoned to death. And that's how that happened. Now, another guy who talked about the thing, I think it was Clement of Alexandria, said, actually, James was thrown down from a temple gable, beaten to death with a club, and then stoned. They just, you know, they wanted to make sure. You know, stay dead, okay? But at any rate, he died in 62 AD. And so this had to be written before 62 AD, and probably somewhere after the time, clearly sometime after the Jerusalem Council, and probably after already the Paul had preached about the doctrine of saving grace through faith. And we also know that it had to be written after the dispersion, the first dispersion. So it had to be quite a few years after the Jews had been scattered throughout the provinces. Because, in fact, in the very beginning of this book, it says to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered throughout the world. So I'll just take a general guess and say it's 59 AD, March 14th. Early afternoon from Jerusalem. The original recipients were Jewish Christians scattered around the world. This is similar to the book of Hebrews was written to those people too, if you think about it. The early Christians were almost all Jews. Remember, 5,000 of them came to faith very early on. And then they were scattered because of the persecution. They're scattered all around the provinces. And this book was written to them, and they're familiar with the law, but probably a little bit self-righteous. You get the sense in reading the book of James that they had their doctrine straight, they had the facts, but they were still living in the world and looking for its rewards. And there are several recurring themes. One of them is just about that idea of not just hearing Scripture or reading Scripture, but doing it, putting it into practice, including not showing favoritism, the danger of hurtful or harsh words, the problem of greed and selfishness. Kind of quaint, isn't it, seeing these problems that people used to have, that we've certainly outgrown in our modern Christian era, right? I'm glad we're better than that now. See, James was sounding a wake-up call to all Christians. Get your life in line with what you believe. And Hebrews, the book, is largely about doctrine. The truth is that there's a larger reality, an eternal reality. This book is about living as citizens of that reality, as citizens and ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. So buckle your seatbelts, and we are going to read through the book of James. Again, 17 minutes with Shatner pauses if necessary. And I deserve the right to use a couple of Shatner pauses. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love them. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own sinful desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and you don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress, and refusing to let the world corrupt you. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you stand over there, or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law.
Lemonade, 25 cents.
Well, what a nice lemonade stand you have there, young man.
Thank you.
No, no, it's really nice. I mean, look at that very retro sign, lemonade, 25 cents.
Thank you.
That's great, great advertising. And I love those Dixie cups that you're using there. They got little flowers and butterflies on them. That's just so cute.
Listen, ma'am.
Yes?
I hate to cut you off, and certainly don't take this wrong. I have nothing but...
Well, I was going to comment on your lovely picture of lemonade
there. I have nothing but respect and admiration for the very old and infirm. So don't get me wrong here, please, ma'am. As long as you don't die here next to my stand...
Well, I certainly hope not.
Like I said, the senior citizens, you are, at one time, you were the foundation of our society. So, I don't take this wrong, but the thing of it is...
Oh, there's a thing.
Yeah, see, I got a letter in the mail from a giant lemonade stand corporation saying that they wanted to take my stand and franchise me in. And so, they're supposed to come here very, very soon, sometime today. And so I'm trying to create kind of this mode of cool, you know, so that everything about the stand says cool and young and hip.
Why the dark glasses.
Yeah, yeah. So the message I'm not trying to communicate is 3 o'clock at Hometown Buffet. Catch what I'm saying there.
Yeah, so, yeah, actually,
you know,
I do.
So I appreciate you being here and wanting to, you know, buy lemonade. So maybe if you were to put your quarter here, and then walk a couple blocks that way. I'm sure you parked your walker around here somewhere. But you could just go that way, and then I'll get my little brother to bring you lemonade. It's a win-win situation for both of us that way.
Wow. Raymond?
Raymond. I mean, the name tag myself. It's right. It's
yeah,
Raymond.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, Raymond. Oh, you may have noticed I have a name tag, too.
Yeah, I noticed that on there, but I'm six, and it looked like there's a polysyllabic word there that I wouldn't know how to read.
Well, yes, it says, Lemonade Stands Are Us, CEO.
That's the same corporation. I don't know how I didn't see that coming, honestly.
right
over my head there. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, Raymond.
Yeah.
Is this how you treat all of the elderly people who come by to get
No, 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 no. Heavens, no, no, no. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's kind of bad. Can we change the subject? Actually, I'm feeling some shame at the moment, so.
All right, Raymond. Well, listen, why don't you show me your whole operation?
Oh!
And maybe we can get past this little awkward
moment. Come on up to the kitchen. That would be great. We washed our hands today.
Okay.
For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you've still broken the law. So whatever you say or you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, and have a good day, stay warm and stay well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab, the prostitute, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring.
Well, Raymond, that was most
interesting. Thank you for showing me the entirety of your operation.
I was happy to do it, and like I said, you came on a good date because we washed our hands today. Mm-hmm.
Well, you may have noticed I was taking notes.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Yes, and...
You didn't even draw any pictures. That was...
No.
Advanced.
That may come later, but...
Okay.
No, I had some things I might share with you, though, if you're interested
in what I observed. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I'm wide open to
okay,
that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, your Dixie cups here on the stand.
Yes.
I notice you're using 10-ounce Dixie cups.
Big size.
Now, Dixie, I am sure, makes smaller cups. If I were you, I would go to a 6-ounce or maybe even a 4-ounce cup for 25 cents. If somebody wants 10 ounces of lemonade, they can buy two.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah, good thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, secondly, you should have a tips jar on your counter. You could write the little, you know, the little...
To be cute, I could write the T backward.
Or maybe the P, that might be even cuter.
Okay, yeah.
But see, then if people come and buy lemonade and they're in a really generous attitude, you know, they can just stuff the money right in there.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's good thinking. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're on a roll here.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Your lemonade recipe will definitely have to change.
Yeah.
We'll give you our lemonade stands or us recipe because yours, frankly, tastes like it was made with sewage water.
What?
Secondly, your mom is going to have to stay out of sight.
What, mom?
Woo! Your dear mother is the ugliest woman I think I have ever had the sad misfortune to lay eyes on. She will have to stay out of sight. I don't want her coming down here scaring the customers. Now, maybe on Halloween you could let her come down. But otherwise, absolutely out, okay? All right, then I don't know why you have your stand right here, because look at this. I mean, it's a dilapidated outbuilding that, oh, wait, that's your house, isn't it? Oh, well, I guess we can't move that anywhere. Okay, we will have to get you a lemonade stands or us uniform, because it's clear you don't know how to dress yourself. And that hair. Honestly, it looks like rabid wolverines were doing something on your head, so we'll have to do something about that.
I don't want my stand to be with lemonade stands or us!
Oh, you big crybaby. You're the one who wanted to be an entrepreneur.
If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Spirit of God has placed The spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy. But he gives even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble.
Okay, now Raymond, come on, let's just get a grip. You have got to develop a thicker skin. If you're going to be in business, you have to do that, okay?
So this is on me?
Yeah, mostly. So, yeah.
But are you still interested in taking my lemonade stand? It's such a nice lemonade stand.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Actually, I have the letter of intent here all ready to go. I'll have you sign that, and we'll be on our way.
Yay! Oh, that's so great!
Yeah.
That's so great. Okay. Oh, what do we have to do to start?
Well, all the things I told you, first of all, the uniform and the lemonade recipe and the hair, well, nothing can be done about the hair, I guess. But anyway, so I'll have to give you a little front money, and then you can get all the nice fresh ingredients to make the best lemonade in the country, because Lemonade Stands or Us Lemonade is the best lemonade in the country. And I want you to be able to present it to the customers in the very best possible light, okay?
Okay.
So,
all right.
And then, of course, the uniforms.
The uniform,
and,
maybe a little signage?
I think your sign is just fine. But, oh, and, you know, new Dixie cups and that sort of thing.
Okay. Okay. So that's so, with a little bit of front money, is what you're saying. But we want to present this thing in such a way that everything is good. It's classy. It makes the customer want to come in, right?
Sure.
Okay. So maybe a little more front money actually would help that to happen, you know, because, oh, let me tell you where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Now, there's a kid down the street here about two blocks, a kid by the name of Tommy. And I know he's also got a lawn mowing business that he does, but he's, you know, he saved up enough to buy a really nice little tricycle, you know? And I was thinking, oh, if I had something like that, that would really, you know, be really classy. It would send a message here because I'm the face of this particular stand. That would send a message. The guy who runs the place is really classy. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'd do something to get his customers to come here. Maybe I'll start a rumor about him. Or I'll hire the mafia to break his legs. Or we'll set up landmines in his yard. Something like that to get the people to come over here. And when they get here, they're going to discover that there are 2-ounce cups out here with some watered down lemonade at 50 cents a cup, and they're just gonna be pouring money hand over fist because they're thirsty. And when that all comes in, I'm gonna be able to buy myself a really nice tricked out lowered tricycle, right? And I'll get some decent threads, something perhaps suede, and some gold chains. I'll get gold chains, big honking gold chains, and a broad on each arm. I'm pimping now.
Wow. Wow. Or, alternatively, you could have just asked me for ideas on how to make your stand more profitable. My goodness, you are a greedy little piggy. I don't know. I'm thinking I might just rescind this whole offer. And I think I'll go down and see if Tommy wants to be part of our corporate family.
No. Hold on. Forget all that. We're going to stay with the 4-ounce cups. You were right about that. 25 cents a cup, not watered down. And we'll just keep the regular uniform and no gold chain. One gold chain, thin and classy. Come on, these uniforms are not much to look at.
So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there for a year. We will do a business there and make a great profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. The treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you've cheated of their pay. The wages you have held back cry out against you. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath. By heaven or earth or anything else, just say a simple yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human, as we are. And yet, when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that it speaks to us. Help it to sink into our hearts. Help us to hear what you want to say to each one of us. Lord, we know that you are active and wanting to speak to us. Lord, make us receptive. And help us, to put it into action, to line our lives up with the kingdom of heaven and with our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.